Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Broadcasting from the Cubs convention at the Sheraton Grand Chicago, it's Matt Spiegel on 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
Oh, I know that song. That's you know, everybody knows that song. You don't have the Cubs game on the score, but you do have the Cubs convention on the score. I am your Huckleberry today, 9 a.m. to 12, right here on 670 The Score. It is me, Matt Spiegel. I am solo. My intended partner, Zach Zaidman, doing college basketball late last night and could not get in due to the insane weather and flight schedules that are going on, but that is fine. I am glad to be here with some stragglers at the Cubs convention. Do I dare call these people stragglers? No offense to you and yours. I am a straggler with you. We are the hardy Sunday few who dare to show up. There's a straggler identifying herself proudly, who dare to show up for whatever may be on the docket today. There's been a bunch of news that's been made. A lot of interviews that have been really interesting, including a couple done by a really, really good interviewer yesterday morning. Did you guys hear that? Yeah, it was me. I talked to Chris Bryant and Jed Hoyer yesterday. We might play a couple little chunks of those because there's some interesting stuff in there I wanted to go over with you. And Kyle Hendricks is going to come by around 10:15. But it's been an interesting convention. That is for sure. Bruce Levine, my partner on Inside the Clubhouse on Saturday, is going to swing by here around 9:30 and give us a little update on what has gone on over the past couple days, especially yesterday. If you've been checked out and living your life over the weekend, Theo Epstein was a one-man front office panel yesterday. Joe Madden spoke yesterday. And, you know, it's just an interesting vibe around these parts, and we'll get to that in a second. The Cubs convention coverage is brought to you by Tito's Vodka, America's own craft vodka, and we thank them for having us. Also in the 11 o'clock hour, we'll talk a bunch of championship Sunday because it's game day. And we're in a state of bearslessness. Look, it's 2 minutes into the hour, and I haven't been able to avoid mentioning that it's championship Sunday, and there are no Bears. I've had this date circled for a long time. Full disclosure, I got a gig tonight with the band at around 7 o'clock, and I had been living in terror that it was going to be going up opposite the NFC Championship game featuring the Chicago Bears. Well, the good news is that the NFC Championship game is early. That's the first of the two games. The bad news is that it doesn't even include the Chicago Bears. But anyway, been thinking about this day for a while and hoping the Bears would be here. And here we are, and they're not here. And I don't know about you, but it's created kind of a rebirth of a head-shaking minor pessimism. Just a moment of freaking Cody Parkey or other stuff too. Just like, what do these teams have that the Bears do not is what I find myself thinking over the past couple days, and I find myself thinking about it this morning. So that's rolling around my head, and we're going to welcome your phone calls all day long here between 9 and 12 on Championship Sunday on the Cubs convention. Might mix some things in here along the way. And I'll throw that at you right now here as we are on an NFL game day. What do these teams have that the Bears do not? And they are the top four offenses in the NFL. You know that. But there's a specific trait that I'm thinking about. Maybe there's other things that you're thinking about. Would love to talk about it with you because these four teams are here and the Bears are not. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. You can text us at 670-11. And for Cubs fans, the feeling around this place has been interesting. People I talk to, even just the reception, I'm not sure if you caught some of the boos that were there as some players were introduced. Jason Hayward had to deal with a mixed bag of boos and cheers. Yu Darvish was fortunate that his walk-on music was playing very loud. I think it was Soulja Boy, which was playing louder than the boos were. It's an odd moment in the winning window of this franchise. By the way, this hour here on 670, the score is brought to you by Gurney Hyundai. When searching for a new Hyundai, search for GurneyHyundai.com. It's a very healthy franchise. It's a very good roster. And it's a very healthy organization as a business. And this is a business. But on the field, this is a very good roster. There's no way you could look at this and not say this is, what, a top five Major League Baseball roster? Maybe a top eight Major League Baseball roster if we had to expand it just a little bit. But as a franchise and as a business, they're in a pretty amazing place. They're not exactly where they want to be. The construction projects are not fully done. In fact, they're not quite as far along in terms of bringing in revenue as I think they thought they would be by this point in the project. But it's starting to roll in, and they are on their way. They will sell a lot of tickets and already have. They will be profitable. They will move forward on the construction issues, and they will move towards that big television deal that they've been hoping for and counting on for a long time. And Crane Kenny shed some light on that process yesterday. In terms of the roster, there's not a lot of change, and that's what feels weird. It feels weird because Theo Epstein was so angry, perhaps along with you, as he gave kind of his state of the franchise dissertation in October, talking about the broken offense. And you assumed that changes were coming. You assumed that things were happening. If not big free agent signings, then at least some free agent signings, perhaps some trades, some reshuffling of the bats. But that is not what has happened. So you've got this kind of odd stasis of the lineup itself. And that has led to some discomfort among the fans. But think about it from the organization's perspective. Sometimes in a winning window, you kind of don't have a choice as a baseball operations staff but to take a breath and not add, not change. Not, as Theo Epstein said the other day, add that second helping of dessert. That was in a radio interview in response to, boy, don't you want to go out and didn't you want to go get Bryce Harper? Didn't you want to go maybe go get A.J. Pollock or something like that? He said, well, sure I do, but I can't have a second helping of dessert. Dessert was last year, and dessert had way too much salt in it. It had salt. It had garlic. It was like, yeah, the dessert last year of the big-time free agent was very, very unpleasant. It's like you ever go rooting around in your parents' cabinets and you're looking for chocolate and you're like, oh, man, look at this giant hunk of chocolate. And it's that baker's chocolate that just isn't sweet at all and you find yourself taking a bite and spitting it out immediately. That's your Yu Darvish and Brandon Morrow contracts. I mean, Tyler Chatwood is just, woof. Is even filthier than that and even less tasteful than that. But the point is, in the middle of a winning window, you have no choice sometimes to do what they're doing, which is to take a breath and not really change so much. You've built a lot. You have a lot. And then look at what has happened. What they have done is change the coaches, change the personalities. They're going to change some of the techniques that they're trying to teach these guys. You're gonna use some of the analytics and the technology that they have and try to force the non-linear development to become linear for some of these young guys. They're going to try to coach them up. They're going to count on the anger and distaste of the way things finished. They're going to count on the rest that they have gotten in a longer offseason, and they're going to count on the personality mix that they're putting together with guys like Tommy Hotovy and Anthony Iappose, guys they absolutely love. And a lot of these players, especially the young ones, absolutely love. And so they will spin it to you, as they have yesterday, the day before, and as they have in the spring, that guys are going to get better. I hope they will. I don't know if they will. It's a very difficult thing to count on, but they're being forced to count on it. It's uncomfortable, isn't it? It's a little uncomfortable. You know, yesterday I spoke with Jed Hoyer, and I'd love to play a little bit of that for you right now. Eli Hershkovich, who's back at the ranch, we'll set that up here. And callers, hang on, 312-644-6767. But in speaking with Jed Hoyer yesterday, Bruce Levine and I were talking about some of this. You know, I've been, if you've listened to me at all, and it's Matt Spiegel here on 670 The Score, solo with you on a Sunday morning live from the Cubs convention. If you've listened to me at all, you know that I've been accused of being kind of a magical thinker. I believe strongly in good vibes, babe. I believe in positive people and a team outlook. I believe that chemistry and comfort on a ball club or in most walks of life can facilitate improvement and excellence. That it's better. That it's not necessarily the only driving force, but it's better. And a lot of these guys in major league front offices who started out as, you know, business school majors and guys with masters, just, you know, brilliant guys, have not believed in that kind of thing. And I've been a part of a ton of conversations on The Score through the years where you argue about these kind of things. Yesterday I had a chance to ask Jed Hoyer about it because you look around, and as I mentioned, some of these coaches that they've hired, it seems to be some of those vibes, some of that positivity and chemistry and comfort is what Theo and Jed are kind of counting on. I've always loved that they don't rule things out. They don't rule that out as something that matters, as a factor. But boy, it seems like they're kind of counting on it this year. Maybe that's a product of the forced inactivity that I was talking about before. Or is it something that they now believe in? That's what I asked Jed Hoyer yesterday, and here's what he had to say.
The biggest change in my thinking over my career is probably going from someone who was sort of the anti-you on those things, and this felt like chemistry was a three-game winning streak, to someone that I really do believe that the atmosphere you walk into every day, the kind of people you have, I think it makes a massive difference, and I think that it just makes sense. If you know, are you going to be more productive going to work in a place that you love walking into every day, or are you going to be more productive going to work if you don't like your coworkers and that people are negative and people don't like each other? I mean, it's just human nature. Like, people don't react the same to a negative environment and a positive environment. And so if you want to get the most out of your people, you have to create that environment. And so now, saying that, I think that the environment does have something to do with how you're doing as well. I mean, you know, you can't say that we had a positive environment at the end of last year. I think it wasn't negative, but certainly guys were frustrated with how they're playing, and guys were frustrated with the way the team was playing, and so it wasn't quite the same. But it didn't get dragged down by environmental things. And I think you're onto something. I mean, you look at our coaching staff. We do try to bring in people that we think are very positive. You know, you have to have people that are positive, but also can directly address issues that can provide that honesty. The kumbaya thing doesn't work, right? You know, these are adults, you know, but I think you have to be able to deliver a message in a positive way. You know, people always talk about millennials or talk about, you know, the new generation, but the fact is that the old school, you know, I don't talk to rookies until they have, you know, until they have a couple years in, you know, hazing, yelling at people, delivering that kind of message, like, that just doesn't play in today's game, and you have to adjust to that. And I think we've tried to do that with our coaching staff.
That's Jed Hoyer from yesterday, and Mark Loretta is the name that I have not mentioned as an addition there to that coaching staff on the bench. And no one has anything but great things to say about Mark Loretta. Very good dude, very smart dude, incredibly positive, confident dude. And in talking to Chris Bryant yesterday, you know, Chris Bryant's hitting coach is his father. It always will be. If anything goes wrong in Chris Bryant's swing, if he has a couple of bad offers, in fact, even if he just has one, he says after any bad game, he calls his dad. Mentioned that again yesterday. So what is Chris Bryant looking for? Somebody to help him feel good and deal with the failure. What are most of these guys looking for? Somebody to help keep them loose and deal with the monotony. What else might they be looking for? People to help them kind of laugh at things that are annoying. Maybe it's the media getting in their face. Maybe it's Joe Maddon and something they used to find humorous and fun and something they now find annoying. Maybe it's You know, maybe it's an other assistant coach. Maybe it's a teammate who's being a jamoke for some reason. They want good people. They need good people around. And since David Ross left, I think they've realized that they need something like that. I think they tried to get David Ross to be that guy again this year for bench coach. But instead, here we go with Hadavi, and here we go with Iaposi, and here we go with Mark Loretta. And we'll see how much it matters. It's interesting. It can't hurt, that's for sure. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. You can text us at 670-11 if you want to hop in as well. It's Matt Spiegel here, solo from the Cubs convention. You want to talk Cubs? Does this stuff work? What I'm talking about? What Jed Hoyer is talking about? Their approach to this offseason? Coaching them up? Are you believing that it can help? And some of these young guys are going to restart on the development path or jump back to where they were. I mean, what's going to help Wilson Contreras recover from what was a really disconcerting season offensively? 312-644-6767. You want to talk anything Cubs from the Cubs convention here on The Score. Steven and Mark, hang on. We'll get to you right after the break. And Bruce Levine coming up at the bottom of the hour. We'll see what he learned here yesterday at the Cubs convention. It's Matt Spiegel with you on 670 The Score. Welcome back in on 670 The Score, live from the Sheraton right here on South Water Street. It is the final morning of the Cubs convention. There's a Cubs Hummer parked across the street, which is quite something. And I got to say, you know, I'll go ahead and say this on the air. As I was arriving, my wife and I, and she was dropping me off, we were watching this woman try to leave her parking spot directly in front of the Cubs Hummer, right? And she scraped the snow off her windshield. I think she was using a Starbucks cup to do it. And we were just kind of laughing at her for a moment, like thought about going over and offering the ice scraper, but instead chose to enjoy her using the Starbucks cup because we're horrendous human beings. So I'm watching her do that. And then she gets in the car and gets ready to leave her parking spot. And she, again, she's right in front of the Cubs Hummer. She pops it in reverse and slams on the gas and absolutely hammers the front of the Cubs Hummer. Absolutely hammers it. Now, it's a Hummer, so I don't believe any major damage was done. Salute. But it's possible that it was done. I mean, oh, you could, a water buffalo could run into a Hummer and nothing would happen. But this woman's mini SUV did absolutely slam into the Cubs Hummer. And I will say this for our listening audience and our partners here with the Chicago Cubs, as we are the flagship radio station for the Cubs. We got the license plate of that car as she drove away. We thought it was our civic duty to write down the license plate. My wife has it in a note on her phone. If anybody knows who owns the Cub Hummer, and if there indeed is any damage, come find me, Matt Spiegel, right here at the Scores broadcast booth in the lobby at the Sheraton Hotel, and I'll be happy to furnish you with that license plate, and you can go after that awful person who slammed into the front of your delightful vehicle. It's 670 The Score. 670-11 is the way you text us, and there's a whole bunch of texts coming in. Peoria Matt was listening and said, did Jed Hoyer say he was the anti-you? He did. He was talking about me and how I feel with the magical thinking stuff. He said he used to be the anti-you, but Peoria Matt says there's a few of us in that anti-Darvish group. No, that's not what he meant, okay? That's an easy pun. That's lazy, and you're better than that. Not much, but you're better than that. Let's go to the phones, 312-644-6767. This is Steven in Roscoe, Illinois, who has been patient and hanging on and is now on The Score. What's up, Steven? Good morning.
Good morning, Speaks. What's going on, bro?
Hey, man, you know, just me and the stragglers, and I'm a proud straggler here at the CubsCon at the Sheraton. What's going on with you?
I love the Cubs talk. I got a couple of questions. One's a question, one's a statement. For bench coach, how about we entertain the idea for Grandpa Rossi for bench coach? I think that would be great. My real question was, I saw a rumor online, I think it was Bleacher Report, like 3-4 weeks ago. It was a rumor, of course, about us trading with the Giants, trying to open up money to get Bryce Harper. So I just wanted to get your expertise on if that was to happen. You know, who would we be giving up for that, and who would we be getting back from that?
Yeah, I appreciate you, Stephen. Thanks for the call, man. This call from the news cycle of about 3 weeks ago, I do believe, maybe 2.5 weeks ago. And that's okay. Maybe Stephen's been busy. David Ross was their first choice, I believe, for bench coach. And I think Mark DeRosa was the second choice. I think Mark Loretta, who described the process when he got a phone call kind of out of the blue from Jed Hoyer, was the third choice. Now, there are a lot of good candidates for it. These guys know a lot of really good, smart, positive baseball people, and I think Mark Loretta is going to make a terrific bench coach and very possibly the next manager of the Chicago Cubs at some point. But yeah, they wanted David Ross, but David chose to stay with ESPN, chose to stay with his kind of light association with the Cubs front office and allow for some more family time for now. And we'll see what happens in the future with him, as of course they love him. And if he wants to come back to a day-to-day life in baseball, this organization would be right there for him. As far as the Hayward deal, I mean, that's the dream, is that you find a team that's willing to bail you out. You find a team that's willing to bail you out. Several years ago, after Theo had left Boston, the Red Sox needed help, and they found the Dodgers at an odd spot in their life cycle. And remember that bailout trade when the Dodgers ate the contracts of Josh Beckett and Carl Crawford and Adrian Gonzalez? And I believe Nick Punto was in the deal, and we all called it the Nick Punto trade just for fun. That Red Sox bailout was remarkable. It helped the Dodgers in odd financial and restructuring ways, and it obviously helped the Red Sox reset, and they won again before long. Just recently, the Dodgers, in trying to kind of change their financial picture, found the Cincinnati Reds as a bailout helper. And the Reds took Matt Kemp's money and Yasiel Puig's money. In both of those instances, the teams, the Dodgers the first time, the Reds this time, those teams were fine with just being mediocre, taking on awkward contracts, doing what they could with them, and maybe getting a little bit better, being kind of relevant but mediocre. That's the Reds' slogan, by the way, for this coming season, I think. Relevant but mediocre in Cincinnati. So they were willing to do it, and that's what you want. That's what you need if you're looking for somebody to take a Jason Hayward contract. So you look around, and what team could that possibly be? Maybe the Giants. Maybe the Giants, and maybe they have a bad deal, a bad contract, like Johnny Cueto that you could hold on to, or Jeff Samardzija, or Mark Melancon, which is worth throwing at the end of your roster and seeing if those guys can bounce back into something. So it's a dream to look for that kind of thing. It's been written about extensively by my colleague Bruce Levine over at 670 The Score. But here we are on the 20th of January, and I don't believe that kind of financial bailout trade for Jason Hayward to create room for the Cubs, I don't believe that's going to happen. I wish I could ask Bruce Levine myself. Someday.
You can.
Oh, my goodness. Look at that.
It's like magic, isn't it?
There he is. Mention his name and he appears. You're like, what was the thing in the Flintstones? Was it the Great Gazoo? Is that who it was? You mentioned his name.
I'll take your word for it.
Okay, cool. Thanks. Not a big Flintstones guy, maybe. Before your time. I understand.
Animation after Bugs Bunny is all downhill, I believe.
It's a controversial stance against all post-Bugs Bunny animation.
Well, he had the best baseball animation of all time.
1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out. 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out.
That is the greatest. That is without a doubt the greatest. Bruce, there is no partner. Is there a realistic partner for the kind of Jason Hayward bailout deal that we've talked about before?
You mentioned three names of the Giants. The Evan Longoria contract is also going to be weighing him down. And Ferenczady, who is the general manager of the Giants, his number one job given to him by ownership was get rid of those contracts. Number 1, 2, 3, 4, get rid of all four of those contracts. Oof. So there is a partner for the Cubs, but Jason Hayward is a former 6-war player, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you believe in war and you believe in the all-around player, Jason Hayward was that guy coming into the situation with the Chicago Cubs. after playing for the Cardinals in 2015.
Yeah, former is a fairly important word in that,
well,
in that sense.
So
still.
Keep in mind that front offices value the WAR number and the totality of a player. Knowing that, Matt, there's a possibility that they view Jason Hayward differently than the Chicago Cub people who are waiting for him to hit 20 home runs and drive in 80, and that doesn't appear to ever be happening. But there is value to him. He's a younger player. He's a Gold Glove right fielder.
He's a terrific guy and a
teammate. These other people are all on the downside of their careers. That's not the case with Jason Hayward. He's leveled off to where he's at, and there's always the possibility of him getting better.
Which of those awful Giants contracts, and boy, that's a pile, do you think the Cubs would have to take back or want to take back if they had their
it's
choice?
It's $106 million invested in the Hayward contract.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to match up, and you hope that you're only eating portions of it down the line. Now, you're not trading Hayward just to trade Hayward. You're trading Hayward with the idea that you're going to have other players in there that are going to be more productive, and you have more flexibility in your payroll now and in the future. But if Ian Happ is playing right field every day, is that a more productive player for you if you don't replace Hayward in the outfield and you trade him?
Maybe so. Maybe time to give the kids
maybe,
the outfield.
But, I mean, you're looking at 165 strikeouts in 440 at-bats.
Perhaps.
You don't know if he's leveled off or is he going to continue to get better.
He's one of those kids that they're going to try and force-feed the linear development with. They're going to try and find a way to make that happen. The bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Coach Fitz and the Big Ten West Division and Holiday Bowl champions at Ryan Field this fall when they host Ohio State, Iowa, and more. Season tickets on sale now at NUSports.com. After you and I got off the air, Bruce, Jason Hayward sat here with Steve Rosenblum and Mike Esposito, and a texter hipped me to this. Let's listen and see if we hear anything, even if subtly, in this answer from Jason Hayward as he talked about the walk-off grand slam, one of the great moments. One of the great moments in it was it a walk-off grand slam? It was a grand slam. It was a walk-off. One of the great moments in last year's season to finish the game. Here's Jason Hayward talking about his mindset after that grand slam.
Walk-off at Wrigley Field, grand slam. You know the whole scenario: bases loaded, two outs, two strikes, all of that, down by two. You know you live in that moment, absolutely, and the next day we got a game, but I wasn't in the starting lineup the next day, so I was just kind of, okay, like this happened. You know, sitting on the bench watching the game, staying tuned in, but, you know, people were still talking about it in the stands.
So that mentioned that he wasn't in the lineup the next day.
That's Joe Maddon.
Of course. And this is Joe, and it was that day game after a night game? Is it whatever the matchup particular was that day?
It's always the matchup.
Uh-huh. But there's Hayward with a little bit of disgruntlement, shall we say, at the way it was handled. You have a moment like that, and that's a guy thinking, put me right back out there.
I think Happ hit two home runs in a game the previous year, and he was on the bench the next 2 days. Because Joe didn't like the matchups against left-handed pitchers for him.
Uh-huh. See, now that's the kind of thing that if you look at the numbers and you just think about the matchups of it and the science of it, people will praise that kind of thing. And overall, will that have a better effect than putting a guy right back in who feels good? Maybe, overall.
Joe doesn't believe in riding the hot hand, so to speak. He believes in we have a new day,
yeah,
a new pitcher, a new pitching staff, a different group of pitchers, a different lineup, and we are going to attack this game like it's game one, even if it's game 65 or 142.
There was a really interesting moment yesterday where an absolute disconnect between what Jed Hoyer was saying and what Joe Maddon believes happened. It was pointed out on Twitter, I think by Michael Cerami of Bleacher Nation, that Jed Hoyer was sitting here talking with you and me, Bruce, saying that it's good that these guys are angry. It's good that they had a crappy end to the year and have spent this offseason kind of pissed off and working. And hopefully that means they come in with that edge and it'll have their intensity up every day. And at exactly that moment, Joe Maddon was inside doing a panel over there saying that anger is not productive. Anger is not productive in a ball player's mindset. That's a disconnect. What you're just saying it's another.
It's not a direct disconnect because
I think it's a growing one.
I don't think so. I mean, it's not like they're arguing theories. I don't believe they are. I think that regenerating the power of anger for an athlete is the difference between failure and success. In other words, you take that buildup of anxiety and disappointment, and what do you do with it? How do you get the very best response out of it? How do you internalize that, not come out of your so quote-unquote stuff,
mm-hmm.
for because we can't use the other word on the radio.
Right.
And sometimes we do, though. And
a couple weeks ago in describing a certain rumor.
I remember you did. It's the way things are reported. I mean, it's interesting that they point that out. But, you know, yesterday we had a Crane Kenny baseball business meeting.
Yeah.
And in there, Julian Green, the head of PR, went up to talk to Crane in front of a crowd of 800 and talked about Tom Tunney and the difficult time that he's been presenting them for getting their liquor license and their restaurant licenses up for days where there's not Cub baseball. And one of the people in line asking questions disagreed with the idea of talking to them about politics and how they should look at it. And then the story comes out today that, people are upset about the Cubs talking politics and asking them to not vote for Tom Tunney. And it was one guy.
There's one guy in a panel.
So when we take these little pieces, what's going on in that room, what's going on in that room, it's just... the way that things are being talked about sometimes, and trying to get sizzle out of something that doesn't sound particularly right.
I understand what you're saying. I earlier in the show, Bruce, I played the chunk of Jed Hoyer with you and I from yesterday where he talked about positivity and confidence and how he's grown in his career to believe how much that mix of personalities matter and how much that kind of thing matters. And so you've got Hoyer kind of talking about the mindset of these guys. And Joe sometimes, will talk about, helping these guys stay in the moment, but also there's a desire from Joe to just kind of, not think about the matchup only, not necessarily ride a hot hand. And it seems to me that what these guys are trying to get, they're trying to coach these kids up, and they're trying to get these kids to play better due to confidence and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I know, but they're already in the major leagues, Matt. This isn't high school ball. This mm-hmm. isn't Babe Ruth League. This isn't college. This is, they've already made it to the major leagues, okay? Now, are we taking them for seminars and for instruction back to Class A every year? Is that really what it's all about? Is mm-hmm. that what you want? How much smooching of their rear end do they need to function at this level? And how many hitting coaches does it take for you to figure out that you don't have guys that can make the adjustments?
Well, this
that clearly sometimes is what it is.
Yeah, well,
not everybody hits 300. Not everybody hits 25. A lot of people crap out after 3 or 4 years, and they're no longer major leaguers.
This is clearly a moment where they are going back towards the butt smooching, as you described it. They're clearly going for positive buddies, great guys in the foxhole.
Some of it out of predictability from their metrics people and their eye test. And the other is the fact that they don't have the flexibility to make a lot of changes right now. Mm-hmm. And they are unwilling to give up on a Kyle Schwarber.
Right.
And they don't want to trade a Ian Happ for less than they feel a switch-hitting young 25-year-old not making much money that hit 25 home runs in 2017 is worth.
Right, so now that's when you get the tail wagging the dog in terms of reasoning. The tail being, no, positivity matters and confidence matters. Right. The dog being, we can't make any changes.
Right, and Chili Davis, nobody says as he exits, everybody's saying, yeah, great hitting coach, great guy. His message didn't resonate. Well, why is that? Because some of the people were not able to make adjustments. But the message wasn't responded to in a proper way by more than one person, by two people, by a couple stars maybe. And it's like, see you later, pal.
I'll tell you this. The message that they want to get across to these hitters is similar to the message they wanted Chili Davis to get across to these hitters, and that is to hit situationally, to change it up. That's why they brought him in, is to have them be better situational hitters, to think about changing what they do with two strikes or in certain situations. And that nuance, the nuance of that message was not effectively gotten to some of these kids by Chili.
2019, hitting coach, take three.
That's what it is. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. He's Bruce Levine, kind enough to come over and sit here. I got a chunk
of... You're paying me, you told me.
Oh, big, big money. Come on, you didn't enjoy the croissant and the coffee yesterday?
That was very nice of you.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was yesterday, man.
You got to help me with something, though. Decaf, what is... Why? What are you doing?
Warm water.
So why not just let me get you some warm water?
Why coffee was four bucks. Why do you need the octane to perform at a top level if you're rested and ready to go?
Oh, well, I like drugs. You know, that's my drug of choice, Bruce. I'm saying you could have had me go get you a thing of warm water instead of a $4 decaf.
Rehabilitation for Matt Spiegel.
Well, there is a suite. There is a Scores suite at some of the best rehab centers up in the North Shore.
You know, I think caffeine is just something. It's just another thing that people feel they have to do. They don't need it.
Well, that's interesting.
You don't need it.
I'm one and a half coffees in. I'll take another sip from my Yeti here during the break. I want you to tell me what you think was the most important or impactful news to come out of the Cubs convention yesterday when we come back. Right here on 670 The Score. Kyle Hendricks is going to be on the show next hour. We're going to talk plenty of Championship Sunday in the final hour, too, with you Bears fans. And your call is always welcome, 312-644-6767. Somebody get Bruce a decaf!
We won 95 games in a year where I think we all felt a little bit disappointed. And so... the talent's there. The division's going to be excellent. We have our work cut out for us. But, when you look around the diamond, when you start introducing these guys at Cubs Convention and start writing out what we have, you know, shortage of talent is not going to be our challenge.
That's Jed Hoyer yesterday talking about the talent on this roster. What do you think, Bruce Levine? Do you look around baseball?
There's a difference between talent and production.
Oh, but I've heard that.
Yeah,
production and potential.
Yeah, all of these guys have huge talent, or else they wouldn't be number one picks. Uh-huh. They wouldn't be on the Cub team. They wouldn't be most of them parts of a former world championship team.
Is they have the most talent in the division?
I don't know anymore.
I'm gonna
look at the Cardinals and the
Brewers
a little harder and with. By the end of spring training, I'll have a better answer for you.
I think the Brewers have more pure talent than the Cubs do.
Starting pitching, I don't think it's close.
The Cubs over Brewers. Yeah, well, but there's some incredible arms there who are going to be asked to start for Milwaukee this year, and we don't know exactly what we're going to get there. From a talent perspective, right. Woodruff and Josh Hader, man.
I mean, yeah, great, but, are they going to make it past three innings and do it 30 times?
Well, Woodruff, I think Woodruff will be very, very good. I don't know for sure that he's going to start, though. I think he is, but I don't know for sure.
I remember back in the early 80s, the Cubs had a 6'5" right-hander that threw 100 miles an hour, and he would get through the third inning, and he'd have usually one hit allowed and five or six punch-outs. By the fifth inning, he was out.
Mike Harkey?
No, this is a guy that's going into the Hall of Fame inducted in July named Lee Smith.
Oh, yeah.
He became a guy that had almost 500 saves, and not everybody can go six or seven innings. And even in an era where they're asking you to go five, they have to be five good innings if you're going to go out there 30 times.
Yeah. By the way, thank you to the texters at 670-11. Yes, it was the great Gazoo. Finally, thank you. Confirmation on the most important issue of the entire morning. Still don't know who owns the Cubs Hummer that is across the street. But once again, if there is any damage to the front fender, I saw the car that bashed into you as it left the parking spot in front. And we have the license plate.
Very nice. Yes. I did the same thing for somebody last week where... Guy just ran into a car I was sitting next to, casually went back into a bank, did his business, came out, and drove off. I called the police, gave him the
you did
number, because everybody wants somebody to protect you on the way out there.
You would want someone to do that for you.
I spent an extra half hour talking to the police and going through the area to make sure that if that driver was there, he had the information. Now, I'm not a great guy.
Man.
I think that anybody that lives in the United States would want the same thing for them.
A couple things in there I agree with. You not being a great guy.
Yeah.
I agree with that. And then, no.
But it's you assessing it.
Yeah, that's true. So what
the
hell?
Yeah.
No, but I think we're learning that's why Max and Benny's wants to be in business with you, is because that's the kind of man you are. You'll take that time.
Right.
I mean, that's tremendous.
I don't see the correlation, but okay.
We had a texter who said,
I appreciate it.
Matt, you could also jot down the license plate of the Cubs Hummer, not just license plate of the guilty party, but provide both plates to local police. They could easily then track down the Hummer owner, and the case would be solved due to you and your wife being good Samaritans. That sounds like too much work.
Is there a double meaning there that I'm not getting, or what?
No, there isn't.
Oh, okay.
Not at all. But maybe if I give you the information, you'd take care of that. You seem to have a half hour to kill.
I guess, you know.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. That's for sure. So what came out of yesterday that interested you? We had a business panel with Crane Kenny up there, kind of setting up all of the other department heads to deal with some issues. But I read some of the stuff that came out of it. What was newsworthy to you?
The most newsworthy thing was that the Cubs are not prepared to talk about their new regional television network. And it's going to be such a huge deal starting in February of 2020, where they'll be off on their own producing with another partner who will distribute their product to the Chicagoland area and surrounding areas. And the idea that Cubs want to be very careful before they make this partnership and this announcement that they're going to be able to distribute their product properly. So we have the example of the Los Angeles Dodgers getting an unprecedented $5 or $6 billion for their rights.
I think it's eight and a half
now. Okay.
Unbelievable.
And
but you got unhappy Dodgers.
You have only 35 to 40% of the entire Los Angeles area over the past 5 years able to watch Dodger baseball.
The business model has historically been, at least in recent decade and a half or two decades, create the network. Charge out the wazoo to a cable distributor, and then said cable distributor holds the fans hostage and makes them sign up for the network. And that doesn't work anymore because fans have so many options,
right,
whether they've cut the cord or they're using a number of different distributors. They're not going to do that.
Crane Kenny was asked about streaming. He said, it's already streaming. If you don't get the cable, you can get Hulu and you can get our games. Okay, so that's already an area where the streaming goes, but you're paying extra to have Hulu, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a part of it as well. You don't want to kill what's the most important thing for you is the access to your games and young people and people who are at home during the day. That's the lifeblood of any sports operation, any team, any long-term functionality of a league is that you have access for those people to be able to watch your product, fall in love with it, come out to your games, continue to watch it, buy all of their products, and make it into a family situation for generations and generations. Cubs did that. White Sox did that with radio, then television, and now we have a much different dynamic. So the long-term answer that you would ask Chet Kopic, and I gave it to you.
Give me a wrap-up, my friend.
It is they want to have their ducks in order before they make this announcement.
Now, what was interesting to me is the idea of another team being part of this, and that seemed to be new yesterday. How does that work?
Not a Chicago.
No, another baseball team. So multiple baseball teams would be making the same deal with said distributor, and kind of setting up their plans and their platforms at the same time.
I mean, how much consumption would be in the Chicago area for the Detroit Tigers?
Right. No, it doesn't make any sense in that way. But maybe it's that whoever this company is, we've heard it's Sinclair, whoever it is, as long as they're going to set up this model with the Cubs, let's do it with two teams and see if we can
Yeah, but what would the other team
send
be?
It out?
Give me an example of what would work here.
I don't know.
That people would want to consume.
I'm not the one who said another team. I thought that came from the stage, though.
It did.
Right?
It did. But our assessment as reporters and analysts is we don't know if it's college.
I will offer
we
you.
We don't know if it's soccer.
Okay.
We don't know if it's a professional hockey team like the Wolves. We don't know exactly
I'll offer you
what
two,
that would be.
Two possibilities. One, University of Notre Dame.
All their games are
football
far
games.
Long. Yeah, right. Yeah, they're
college.
They're
other college baseball,
baseball
games, other college games.
Basketball, they're already in a league.
They're
they can't do that.
This is true. So, but I'm just thinking maybe the minor but sports they, of
but,
Notre Dame.
But they're talking about peripheries of coaches' shows, you know, post-game shows, things of that nature that are available to them. Some of those things might occur.
Did you think that they were talking about another Major League Baseball team?
It doesn't make sense. First of all,
unless it is
the teams have a protective area rights.
Sure.
I mean, does it make sense for the Detroit Tigers to try to build a fan base in Chicago? Does it make sense for the Cubs to allow the Tigers to go up against their team on their own station?
How about the Arizona Diamondbacks when you've got a lot of crossover in populations?
But what you're doing
seasonally.
What you're doing is you're taking away from your own product.
Potentially.
You know, we stink this year. Why don't you watch the Diamondbacks on our station?
Unless it's Marquee 1 or Marquee 2.
And the merchandising, okay? You know, buy the, you know, if he was still there, the Goldschmidt jersey instead of the Rizzo jersey because Arizona's on our station and he's, you know, that team is better this year.
That is that was an enjoyable bit of irresponsible spitballing by you and I right there. You know, maybe not irresponsible, but just spitballing, trying to figure out what the hell they're talking about with that additional
team. We'll find
team.
Out. You know, again, as you said, Crane said it, that there could be other teams involved. We don't know what sports. He didn't say it wouldn't be a baseball team, but again, you know, UIC maybe is on their station.
He's Bruce Levine. Bruce, thanks for coming over and spending some time.
That's it? When do I get paid?
I'll get you another decaf, another $4 decaf next time I see you.
You know, I'd advise one. Mix one in once in a while.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
I like my drugs. All right. He's Bruce Levine, the Score's baseball expert, joining us here on The Score. Guys, are you thinking that it's finally time to lose weight in the new year? Then you should consider Seattle Sutton's Healthy Eating. Seattle Sutton specializes in providing freshly prepared meals to meet a variety of health and convenience needs. So whether your goal is to lose weight, reduce your blood pressure, lower cholesterol, or simply enjoy the convenience of healthy prepared meals, know that they have the right plan for you. Their team of dietitians, nurses, and trained chefs help set Seattle Sutton's Healthy Eating apart from its competitors. Don't be fooled by imposters. Seattle Sutton's is the first and original healthy prepared meal company and has been serving the Chicagoland area for over 33 years. Meals come in three different calorie options and are freshly prepared. And the best part, there is no shopping or cooking needed. They can deliver right to your doorstep, or you can pick up meals at any of their 20 convenient Chicagoland distributor locations. Visit their menu at seattlesutton.com or call 800-442-3438. That's 800-442-DIET. Your good health is their true mission. Cubs convention coverage is brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka, America's original craft vodka. Kyle Hendricks next hour right here with me, Matt Spiegel, on 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.